Several readings today. First one's Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 19:13a. A foolish son is the ruin of his father. Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. John 10:30, I and the Father are one.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Father God, today, along with every day, we ask that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each of our lives, that we would be open to letting you do what you need to do. For you are the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings, our Lord and our Saviour. We ask right now that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would speak into each of our lives. Thank you for the words that you've spoken already, and in some of the songs and stories, you may have been speaking to people already and just touching their lives on this day, Father's Day. But as we've opened your word, Lord God, may you continue to speak to us and guide us in all things in your name. Amen. Now, John's read a couple of passages for us. We're going to look at some other ones as well as we go through this short message today. The ones from Proverbs 13 and 19, and the Proverbs are full with a whole bunch of different ones about fathers and about sons and daughters respecting their fathers and listening and not becoming a mocker and all those sort of things. So there's a whole bunch of wisdom and teaching in the Proverbs to help in the area of fatherhood and being a child going back to the father. There's a whole bunch of things there that help us to understand that there is indeed wisdom in this thing called parenting. And it's not just something that you throw together. It's not just something you get up and do. There are choices that need to be made to enable your children to be brought up properly and to see them develop and grow. We need to play our part, need to be active and participate in either role of being a son or a father. I'm talking about myself specifically, but obviously mother and daughter flows as well. You're not just someone who's hanging around. There is a major role for you to play. And the book of Proverbs gives us plenty of illustrations about that. Jesus is probably our best illustration in our relationship with God the Father. You read a couple there that showed exactly that Jesus had a very, very close relationship with his Father. So much so that when they come to a point of teaching about prayer, Jesus teaches them the first line, which is, Our Father. He opens it right up that each and every one of us can enter into his prayer with his Father. He could have said, My Father who art in heaven, but he changes it to our Father so that you and I can walk into that same relationship that he has with the Father. That one in John 10, verse 30, where it says, The Father and I are one. That again, just says very clearly how close his relationship is with the Father. Incredibly close, incredibly intimate. And then there's the passage where he's on the cross and he's dying. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I don't know about you, but that reverberates very, very powerfully to have such an incredible relationship with his Father that he could bring that area of forgiveness. As a father, I've learned a number of things to understand and to get my head around. As a single man about to get married, few people chatted to me. A few uncles from Cynthia's side of the family had their brief chat to me. One of them told me very bluntly on the day that I married Cynthia that if I ever hurt his little girl, he would take care of me. And he said he had a farm and knew where to bury the body. Now, that's pretty intense and pretty scary. And being a guy from Warwick, I didn't doubt him at all. Not to cause aspersions on people living in Warwick, but didn't doubt that he was serious about it. But I'm thinking, wow, that's a bit rough. I'm a good guy. I'm a nice bloke. Why would you pick on me? Well, as a dad, I now have two daughters. I now understand how much I love them and care for them. And as much as they will one day fall in love with the men of their lives and the men of their dreams and the men they will wish to marry, he had better watch it. Because that's my little girl. Do you hear what I'm saying? You guys get that? Yeah? You understand, those that are parents? You get that? And yet we have a Father in heaven who sent his only son. Sent his only son for you and for me. That while we were yet sinners, while we were out of this relationship that we're in today, he sent his son to die for us on a cross. Jesus also shared very clearly that the relationship is, it's an on-the-job training job. It's a something that you do, that you're about, that you're involved in. In Luke 11, verse 11, we read, let's have a look at that, Luke 11, verse 11. It says very clearly, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or asks for an egg and you will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And he's talking to fathers here. And he says, though you're a father, and you're a good father, because when your son asks you for something, you give him what he's after. So it says here, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. And if they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? No, not a chance. You give them an egg. And so here he is giving that example. And then he says, and yet though you are evil, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? So it's an on-the-job working through. Even though we might be thinking we're doing a good job, the more we get involved in it, the more we can rely on God giving us the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us wisdom and understanding in the role of parenting, as well as all the spiritual gifts. And one of the big things that we need to grab hold of in this whole walk with Jesus thing is it's not always just about the spiritual stuff, like the gift of preaching, the gift of worship, the gift of all these different things, the gift of ministry and prophecy. Some of the best gifts God can give you is how to have wisdom to be a dad in amongst things. The reality of everyday stuff that God wants to help you and me walking and talking through. Isn't that incredible gift of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? That gift of patience when your child turns from a beautiful young person into a teenager. The gift of wisdom to understand what they're actually talking about when they're trying to communicate with you. The gift of understanding when they spend all their time chasing Pokemons on their phone. What's that about? I keep telling them whenever they do that, that Chuck Norris has collected all of them on a landline. You like that one too, Alex? That's good. Good. They keep coming. I've got a few more here, so keep listening, Alex. Jesus showed very clearly, and he must have taught very clearly about fatherhood as well, because there's a couple of passages a little bit further on that hit us very powerfully. Again, just two verses I want us to look at. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is a pretty famous sort of passage, often gets misquoted in a whole bunch of different areas. This one is chapter 6, verse 4, and it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not exasperate your children. That's a good word, isn't it, for us as fathers? We had three beautiful examples here. And I think I got off the hook very, very easily. I think Jamie was very nice to me. She could have really told some amazing stories. But do not exasperate. And these three ladies gave incredible testimony to their dad's generosity and giving and love and support. Do not exasperate. But it doesn't leave just with the negative of do not exasperate. It says, but instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. So just in that simple little verse, who has the responsibility of implementing discipleship and mentoring into the kids? Just that one verse. The Father. The Father has an incredible role to do that into the kids' lives. The area of training and instruction in the Lord. Let's keep looking on. Colossians chapter 3, a couple of books further along. Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. So if it says there for us not to be one who discourages the kids, what are we meant to do? We are meant to encourage them. Encourage them. Just to encourage them. Andrew Wallace, our local member here for Fisher, did his first speech this week in Parliament. I don't know if many of you saw it. A whole bunch of other pastors were putting it up on Facebook and sharing the link. At the end of that, he did a number of things. One, he gave glory to God. He thanked his local constituents, but he talked about his youngest daughter, and who through an amazing situation that took place, encouragement and development, that little girl now is on training to go to the Paralympics of 2012 because she has a handicap. And you could just see him breaking as he spoke in Parliament about it, as he mentioned his precious little girl, his youngest, his fourth daughter. And I can imagine how much of an encouragement that is to him in what he does. And sharing that heart in a time like that. And then he shared the prayer of St. Francis, which was pretty cool, pretty nice. So we've got a few things from the Bible here that helps us to understand things. But some of you sitting there, that's fine, Donnie, because you're talking to us who have got mum and dad and all that sort of stuff, the normal sort of style families. But what about? But what about? Isn't it amazing when you have a discussion about things these days, there's always a what about? There's another clause. It's like when I was learning at tech college, plus C was always on the end of formulas because nothing is ever perfect and never works out the way it is. So plus C gets added in there, the variable constant. So, and amazing. Avril, what led you to read Psalm 68? Did I tell you about Psalm 68? I didn't, did I? No. So let's look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68 is one of my pivotal points today, Avril, so thank you very much. Psalm 68, and exactly the same verses that Avril read out. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee like before him, may you blow them away like smoke. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him, his name the Lord. Isn't that an amazing picture of who God is? He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. He's an incredible God. It's awesome, isn't it, that section of Scripture? It fills you with awe on who this God is. Amazing, wonderful God. And then the next part is, he is a father to the fatherless, defender of widows, God in his holy dwelling. So in amongst all that awesomeness that's going on, God cares for the fatherless. He cares for the widow. It's a special part of his heart. And so when we have the what ifs, then we have right here that God cares about those. And because we're his people, we should too care. We should be aware in areas of pastoral care. We should be aware of in our community. Last night, I believe, is an incredible way for us as a church to live out an example of caring for the fatherless or even just those that need to have a break and to be able to be refreshed. We're fairly blessed in a lot of the work we do. We work with fairly standard nuclear families. We have a number of fly-in, flies-out where there's a bit of stress and strain on that. But fortunately, but there are many in our community who are raising kids by themselves, both sides. And we need to be able to help and support and encourage. Last passage I want to share with you today is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Incredible passage again. I'm going to read from verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as it is said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Again, another incredible picture that we have of our Lord God Almighty, who wants to be our Heavenly Father, who wants us to be known as his sons and daughters. So today, no matter whether you're rejoicing in your Father's Day or rejoicing in your heavenly, earthly dad's Father's Day, or if there's been some other story, today I want you to connect with your Heavenly Father. Connect with this guy, this awesome God, our Father God, who wants you to be his son and daughter. So much so that we're going to have a time of communion to reflect on that. God wants you to be his son and his daughter in an incredible, unique, and intimate relationship. Father God, as we come to take the bread and the juice, Lord God, to remind ourselves of what you did for us on the cross, may we also be reminded of your love for each of us as sons and daughters, that you want us to be involved in this Heavenly Father. And that when we do pray, Lord God, we can come together by saying, Our Father, Our Father. Lord, I pray that today, as we reflect, as we take this time, that our connection with you as our Heavenly Father will grow stronger and stronger, deeper and more intimate. That we might indeed continue to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to walk and enjoy this life together. So come, minister to us, Lord, as we take this time. In your name. Amen.